Blog Talk Radio.
Co-hosts, introduce themselves.
Good morning, this is Willay. And Willay.
And Vaughn. We are energized and ready this early Saturday morning to be on the air with you all. So we invite you to call, text, or email everyone. And let them know that we are on the air and we are about to get started. Join us via internet by logging on at www.blogtalkradio.com/mastermind or by phone 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're live, press 1 on your phone. You will also join us in the chat room or log on from your Facebook page and visit us out on our group page at International Mastermind Association. Make a comment on our Facebook page and let us know that you're listening and post your questions there as well. We will be monitoring the page while on the call today. We will continue on our discussion on the bestseller, Think and Grow Rich, chapters 6 and 7. Before we get started, let's tell our listeners a little about International Masterminds.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Okay, good morning. We're going to start off by first acknowledging the prior chapters. We start off with chapter 1, which was desire, chapter 2, which was faith, chapter 3, which was auto-suggestion, chapter 4, which was specialized knowledge, chapter 5, imagination, chapter 6, organized planning, and chapter 7, decision. And it's important that we make notice of those things because those things are information that would lead us to our decision. First, I want to start off with asking all the co-hosts, how was your week? Tell me some successful.
This is Janelle. My week was really good. I keep bearing in mind the fact that we were going to be talking about decisions. I did what I, well, not did what I could, but made sure that I was cognizant of the decisions that I made and doing what I needed to do and sticking with those decisions. Anybody else?
Yes, Danelle, I could say the same thing. Once you read this book, everything that you do, you begin to evaluate to make sure that you are working on yourself and that you're also applying these principles into your lifestyle. So I can definitely relate to what you're saying. But although I did have a wonderful week, thanks for asking, Mike.
Great.
This is Vaughn, and like Rose, I had a wonderful week, and it's getting better at the closing of the week. What I would like to say, in terms of what Danelle said, not only once you get into this book, Danelle, maybe you can go a little deeper. I find myself even seeing what's going on around me better, like the things that are happening around me, the decisions that are made around me, I'm questioning. I'm saying, wow, why did they make that decision? And I've only read the chapter once, maybe twice, but it kept me mindful all week long about the decisions that are made.
You know, Ron, you make some of the best leading comments. Oh my goodness. So anybody who's been talking to me lately knows that I have been listening to Uncle Jim. Rose, who is Uncle Jim?
Don't ask Rose. You can ask me.
Oh,
that's my
God.
Main. That's
yes.
My main man.
Jim, I know, right? No, he is so awesome.
I know. So I've been told, for everyone who's listening, I've been listening to Uncle Jim, who is Jim Rohn, right? And going to what you said, Vaughn, about that, he talked about, and most of us have heard it before, but it's only when you're really ready and in a space and a time and place to really receive and you're just there, do you really understand it, even though you've probably been hearing it all of your life. But Uncle Jim said that, you know, in his tapings, that once you work on yourself and you work harder on yourself than you do on your job, or you work on yourself, then you hear I just forgot what I was about to say. No, I didn't. Everything else around you changes as well. You know, once you start to change yourself, whether it's your mindset, your finances, your outlook on life, your outlook on relationships, your spirit, whatever it is, once you start to work on yourself, then it appears as though other people are changing as well. And that could very well be true, but because you're changing yourself and you are, you know, the beginning and the ending of most situations, then other things will change as a result. So thank you, Vaughn. I tell you, you have the best leading topics.
That's good. And we have Renee. She's doing two things, and I know she's doing a walk for domestic violence today, so she'll be able to chime in whenever she's available. My week was very revealing, and it's very relevant to what we'll be talking about today is decisions. I was able to make a lot of different decisions. First thing is to be the host of the show today. I made a decision, and I can reference that throughout the talk today. But going with that, I know that in the introduction I said that we'll be doing chapter 6. I'm going to make the decision to skip chapter 6 and go to 7. How about that? Give me a round of applause. Okay, so that the first thing that I want to make notice of is decision. And we have to be able to put definitions on things. I think in masterminding and making decisions and doing things, we have to know what we're talking about. We have to put a label on it. So therefore, I was curious and I looked up the word decision. A decision is determination arrived at or after a consideration. Report of a conclusion. All right. That's after we did chapter 6, organizing planning, then you're able to make a decision. And then from there, something came up on my Google, and it said, why are people scared to make decisions? Things that came up was lack of confidence, lack of knowledge, lack of support, and resources. And that's so true and so relevant. Before I even get to I'm going to make the statement, and I want you guys to make a comment of it. And it says, Napoleon Hill starts off with a careful analysis of thousands of men and women who are experienced failure revealed that lack of decision was near the head of the list of 30 most causes of failure. This is no mere statement of theory. It is fact. It is fact. And also procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically every individual must conquer. Okay, and the definition for procrastination is to put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, Mike, I'm glad that you actually got that far to get into the procrastination. I think at some point in our lives, all of us have been plagued with this virus. It's a sickness. And it hinders everything around us. And if we can't learn not to procrastinate and be definitive in our decision making, you know, decide and stand on it, stand firm with it, it's we're gonna repeat a cycle. We're gonna repeat a cycle because for me, you've always heard the saying. The biggest defeat is not starting. You know what I mean? So we look at ourselves. We say, you know what? I'm not gonna do. I'll do it later. But you can't move forward until you do it now. You know, the longer I like to use the working out analogy. The hardest part about working out is starting. Once you start, I mean, it could really be hard. It may take years for you to actually get to the gym or to get to the track and start walking around and, you know, doing the things that's needed for you to have your health like you desire it. But we procrastinate at things simple as getting up and going to the gym. Just do it like Nike. So I think procrastination is like a virus.
Okay. But, you know, Ron, just exactly using the example that you use, you know, me and you like to use metaphors and stuff like that. But, you know, exactly if you use any situation, procrastination equates to fear. And we'll get to that later on in the chapter. But like you said, using the gym situation, lack of confidence. I don't want to go in there because everybody's going to be looking at me. Not knowing that it's not where you're at, it's where you're going to be. You know, lack of knowledge. I don't know if I'm working now. I don't know if I'm doing it right. And the most important part of everything in the decision-making process is lack of support. You know, I like to make mention last night I went to Speaking Bureau, and it was a guy, he was speaking about Mike Tyson. And he was saying that, I believe his name was Alvin. I like to give people respect. And he was talking about Mike Tyson. He said, people, you know, like the prior chapter said, it said, organized planning. And so, you know, they have the talk prior to and say, hey, what are you going to do when you fight Mike Tyson? Oh, man, he's just a bully. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to out-bully him. And then what happened to the person? Pow. Tyson knocks him out. The next person. Oh, okay. I know how to get him. I'll just go the distance with him. Guess what? He go in with that mindset, pow, he's knocked out. Then the next round, next person, okay, what you going to do to beat Mike Tyson? Okay, I'm going to try to outpower him. Get in the round, first round, pow, knock him out. And what's that saying? That's saying that we all go in there with plans. We go in there with plans. But when we get punched, that we don't have a backup plan. We don't have that support system. We don't have that something to keep us together. So, yeah, Vaughn, I like to use that because that's real good.
Hey, Mike, we're gonna get it. I see we're gonna really chop this one up. But before we do, let's take a short commercial break.
Okay.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, we're back. So, Vaughn, like I was saying, I'm going to move on to the next topic of decisions. The next paragraph says, you have the opportunity to test your capacity to reach quick and definite decisions when you finish reading this book. All right? Analysis of this, several hundred people who accumulated fortunes well beyond $1 million mark disclosed that the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and changing these decisions slowly, if and when there were change. People who fail to accumulate money without exception have a habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly and changing these decisions quickly and often. Okay, so I'm going to say this. I'm going to let someone chime in on it. With that, what it said to me is that I'm going to the Mike Tyson thing there. Because a lot of times we believe that if we make a plan or we make a goal that we're going to be confident, that we're going to be successful, and that it's going to see its way through. But a lot of times Mike Tyson won because they went in with that one plan, not thinking about their backup plan. All right? And what this statement was saying to me is that a lot of times we make decisions and we don't see it through. We get hit and then we quit. We don't think about the comeback. All right? So they were saying that all the successful people made their decisions definite and quickly. But it comes down that without exception, all right, that they, if at all, very slowly and changing these decisions quickly and often. All right? Meaning that we got to have a backup plan when we're making our decision.
So, Mike, do you think when Mike Tyson or any boxer, when they go in and they've made this decision on what, you know, I'm going to win this fight, I know I can, and then there's those factors where they have the naysayers, you know, saying, oh, well, I don't know, this guy is pretty young, you know, and he looks kind of sharp there. You know, so the book also tells us that we need to have, and being definite with our decision, a good way to do that is to have people around you that are in the same thinking of that decision or in the, not so much thinking, what's the word I'm looking for? Not thinking. But, let's just say it, like mind and like spirit, people around him, or that boxer, or Mike Tyson, around him, so he can be focused on his decision of winning his fight or whatever the plan was originally. So what, I guess my thought is, based on the book, on this chapter, you have to have a team around you to help you in your decision making as well to be effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Because remember what I started off with, that the reason people that fail, this just comes from me, is lack of confidence, lack of knowledge, and lack of support and resources. That's absolutely, I 110% agree. 110%.
So, Rose, you're speaking on the support side.
Right.
I was thinking more on the lines of as people make, let's say, business plans. One thing about a plan for me, they're not etched in stone. You're gonna see what the plan is gonna allow you to do is to see where your success is and where your short term failure is. And within the short term failure, it's okay to critique it. It's okay to throw the business plan away and start over from scratch, but edit that part. Just edit the failure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what I get from it. When I look at boxing, the best boxers are boxers that can counterpunch.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best boxers, not because not only did I come in with a game plan, but I also came in with a plan on a plan to overcome your attack. So I wasn't just going all offense. I went defense and then offense a little bit. You know what I mean? So I know I probably should be using boxing terminologies too deep, but that's the best fighter. And if we're gonna be sharp in our decision making, we have to know that sometimes we don't factor in every aspect of what's gonna happen. You know what I mean? But we have to be able to counter that when we come up against it. We have to be able to counter those things. That's what it means. I think that's what it means when they said where is it in the third paragraph? People who fail to accumulate money without
exception.
Where am I? Okay, without exception, have the habit of reaching decisions. Okay, we made the decision when we decided to fight Mike Tyson. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But there to no knowledge, I planned to fight him this way, but I didn't know which Mike Tyson was coming out. You know, I didn't know which Mike Tyson was coming out of the corner. Yeah, I knew it was Mike Tyson. But what is his mindset today? Is he the beast that you talked about earlier, or is he waiting for me to attack? So I have to be able to counter that. My decision, I was definite in my decision. I'm gonna fight Mike Tyson. That's it. You know, but I have to find out what Mike Tyson am I up against today.
Mike Vaughn, let's hear what Wale's counterpunch is about. Wale, you're on the line.
Oh, perfect. I wanted to just jump in on page. This discussion is so great. But on 150, it says in the chapter of decision that close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap one through opinions. And then right above that, it says, take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group. And as I was making decisions this week, I think the question earlier was, you know, how was our week? I kept that in mind, that I'm focused on the harmony that I have with my mastermind group, and it really, my week ended up really great because of it. So that's what I wanted to share. Excuse my background noise, everyone. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely right, Belay. And in that same paragraph, I have in my notes underlined close friends and relatives, and we're on page 150. Close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap through opinions and sometimes through ridicule, which is meant to be humorous. And what I have in my notes is that we need to learn how to communicate honestly and effectively, because a lot of times the things that we say, you know, we mean it, and we hear the same thing a lot. We mean it one way, but that's not necessarily how someone else takes it. So if I say something to you, and that doesn't mean that you have to walk around on eggshells with people, but you do have to be mindful, especially regarding what the topic is. If I'm talking about my dreams and my goals and my aspirations and my desires and my plans, and then you, and then, you know, some, and the person I'm speaking with comes back in conversation in a ridiculing, joking type of manner, but they say something that I can take offensively, you know, based on their ridicule and their attempt to be humorous, we have to be more mindful of that. You know, there are times and places for joking and that kind of thing, but my suggestion would be, you know, for us to be mindful when we're talking with people or when people are when we're communicating with people about our plans and our goals. And I'm glad that you brought that up for us.
Danielle, don't get off. I'm glad that you brought that up. I also want to add, and this isn't in the book, but this is I think your uncle would agree with me. You also, when things like this occur, because you're working on yourself, you also have to be mindful of how you, when someone is sharing their dreams with you, be it in your mastermind circle or outside of your mastermind circle, when they're sharing their dreams and visions and goals with you, you have to be, we have to be more mindful, because some of the things that happen, some of the things that we display by habit, and we have to be mindful on how we approach how we approach a situation when someone comes to us the same way, and it'll start a cycle because we're a little more knowledgeable in this area.
Right.
You know, it'll start a cycle. You know, where you actually draw positive out of the people that trust you with their goals. You don't share your goals and your dreams and your visions with everybody.
Exactly.
You know, needless to say. And if someone comes to you with their dreams and their goals, that means they thought that you would give them the best advice that they could get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand what I mean? So we have to be mindful as well with that, because some of those things, the laughing and the, you know, shooting your dreams down out the sky, some of those things come by habit, because our forefathers, I think we talked about it last week, the dream killers. You know what I mean?
And sometimes they don't mean to be.
They don't. They're not even aware of it.
Right.
They're not even aware of it.
But Vaughn, the one thing I like, I try to try not to go like this way, but the one thing is, one of the topics before was faith. Which chapter was that? Was faith, auto-suggestion, okay, and imagination. Those things are things that other people can't see. You understand? And, of course, they're going to think you're crazy. If you get that response, you should hear it. Look at Henry Ford. They make mention of it right here in the book. Think about anything that ever happened. They thought that is crazy. If you would have went to the 80s and you look right now to the future and say, hey, you're going to be talking on the everyone's going to have a cell phone. We're going to be watching ourselves on the internet. Look at that movie, Back to the Future. All right? So visions and all those things are things that are not seen. So you shouldn't totally expect for them to understand what you're saying. You must know that in yourself and know that you have your own decision. All right? That's one of the – I don't have the book in front of me now, but it says make your own decision, because the decision comes from you and not for them.
Yeah, that's all where right? the burning desire comes from. That's where the burning desire comes from.
All right. And so I like to think about coaches in football. You know, football, we watch sports or whatever we watch, and we say, oh, they should have did this. They should have did that. But guess what? The coach had watched this team all year. They have data. They have all the information. We don't know nothing. And, you know, we'd be the one saying, oh, that coach, sorry, we need to fire him. And that happens all so much too often. And today the book even made mentions of how it's easy now to make out opinions. It's easy for people to be dream killers, all right, because they say opinions are the cheapest things on earth. All right, we got blogs, you can just log online, blog, fans, and they are usually the people that aren't making decisions, and they have no interest in your team. So when we make our decision, we're doing our vision, we have to be sure of all these things. We always have to identify, and I will continue to say it, identify, define what are we doing? What is that word? What is my decision? Why did I come to that decision? We talked about last week. Why? When you answer all those whys, you're ready to go. And no one should be able to deviate you from your true course of record.
Mike, let's put a pin in it right there, and I don't want you to lose your thought, but let's run to a commercial break, and I want you to come back and finish that up.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay, good. We're back. But yes, Vaughn, that's basically what I was just. That's something that we have to be mindful of. We have to be mindful of who's out to get us. Like you said earlier, we don't know the other person's attention. That's why you have to be more rooted in yourself when you're going out. You know, Ron, I don't want to bring our personal situation out, but it's like we talking about what's happening. That's why I said this chapter is so relevant and important. And I know that God works in mysterious ways. And it's funny that I was able to host this show today, and I really had to get into the chapter to be knowledgeable about what we're talking about, but it's so relevant to what's going on this week with us.
Wow. I'm so glad
just caught
to hear
it.
You say that. I'm so glad to hear you say it. I thought you were going to actually tap into those things, but since you didn't, I will.
As long as they're in the book.
It's in the book. It's in the book. Now, listen, Danielle, let me tell you what happened. Mike and I have been working together doing some nonprofit things. Well, Mike works for a nonprofit organization that we won't name right now. But the CEO, he brought the CEO of the organization in on our plans, all right? But Mike is always, and you and I have already said it, Danielle, Mike is always working for somebody else's goals to manifest. So when he brings it to the CEO says, Mike, I'll help you guys do whatever it takes. I have the blueprint. You already have a plan. It's great. I have the missing pieces to your puzzle. But the only way I will give you the missing pieces to your puzzle is that Mike does this for Mike. Now, the decision making, this is where decision comes in at. Well, Mike has conversed with several other people that are in this that works in nonprofit. He's conversed and he's come up with a master plan, but he's always coming up with it on their behalf. So, what I thought Mike would have talked about was the fact that he knows now that not only do Danielle and Vaughn say this is his mentor, someone that he really looks up to, that is giving him the same information. Mike, you have to make decisions for Mike. You can't help everybody else's dream come and manifest because, like you said before, Danielle, this is probably one of the only opportunities where we will have to be selfish in our quest, because usually we don't want to be selfish people. But this is the one thing, because we're working on ourselves, we can be selfish. And I've been telling Mike, be a little more selfish. Make that decision. So I thought Mike was going to go there, but he didn't.
Okay, well, before he
before he goes there and before he begins on his selfish quest, we do have a caller, M. Angela Williams. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danelle. Good morning, fellows, gentlemen. You guys are the bomb. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Thank you.
I have no idea who you guys are, and I do apologize since I am a masterminder myself, but kudos to this conversation. The way you're handling this show, is, oh, my God, it's so wonderful. It sounds so great. But I want to make a comment also. You know, my first comment is to you guys. So, yay, great show. But the second
you.
One is about the dream killers. And even sometimes dream killers come to, you know, through your family, through close friends, associates, business owners. And my mother used to say, everybody who like you ain't for you. You know, people really do like you. But they just not, you know, if they're not doing something, they don't want nobody else to do anything. But when you, when dream killers come into your life, sometimes I see that as an opportunity from God for me to try to witness to them, to get them moving forward. Because if you can turn that situation around, the dream killers, to get them to start having their own dreams, then they understand why you are a dreamer. See, until people understand why you're a dreamer, they can't celebrate your dreams. So sometimes you just got to start trying to maybe motivate them. You can't always, you can't turn everybody around, but I think we have to take at least one stab at trying to turn the dream killer into a dream chaser. We owe it to them to do that if they're a part of our life somehow, so that they can have their own dreams, and then when they get their own dreams and they start to see their dreams, then maybe they'll be happier for the things that you're trying to do. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, so if they don't have any dreams going on up there, that's why they're so busy trying to kill other folk dreams. So maybe we need to ignite some dreams in them so that they can understand why we're dreaming. But this is a great conversation, great topic, and you guys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, Ms. Angela. Thank you. And so, so the point that you make is relevant because to a degree, then that makes them necessary. That makes it necessary in our lives and in the process of our planning and our dreaming and our decision making. I kind of, while you were talking, I like to use analogies, and I kind of think of it. I kind of like to think of them as germs. You know, germs can be bad if there are too many of them, particularly inside the body. But at the same time, germs can be good, too, because it gives the body and the immune system something to work against, to fight for. But before we continue on, since you did say that you did not know them, you will have a chance to know them at our annual retreat in January. So we're going to go to a very quick commercial while we get ready to introduce our annual conference.
Awesome.
Which is January 11th and 12th, a Friday and Saturday in Boca Raton, Florida. The IMA annual conference is a time of accountability and goal setting that we are all so very much involved in and excited to do. It's a time that we as masterminders come together and we review the goals that we've set for the previous year and the previous years, and we also hold one another accountable. Since we hold one another accountable, we come together in the spirit of harmony and accountability. So we look at the goals that we've planned for the previous year. We look at our accomplishments in relationship to those goals. And before we leave for the weekend, we also set new goals. We set new plans. We make new decisions. We fellowship and meet with other like-minded masterminders, which, like in this case, they're not familiar with one another. So I don't like to call it networking, but it's an excellent opportunity for connections. And that is January 11th and 12th in Boca Raton, Florida. For more information, you can go to the website internationalmastermindassociation.com. Mike.
Okay. Thank you. One thing I want to make, you know, like I said, I love the analogies, and I'm gonna be the opposing view. Just like in my religion, I believe in the devil, but I believe the devil have little influence on us. And so, Danelle, like you said, the germs. Okay, how did the germs get in your hand? It's you. Okay, you allowed it to get to that point. All right, so it's just like what I was saying about decisions. We have control over what we let happen. All right, your family and friends. If you allow that to happen, that's because you allowed it to happen, and because you was weak in your decision making. You was weak. You lacked the confidence. You lacked the knowledge, and you let someone that have no knowledge of what you're doing control what you're doing. All right, and I also do business consulting, and the main thing I always say is, you don't let family work for you, for the most part, and also and relatives and close friends, because it's going to be bipolar. Either they're going to tell you some stuff negative, or most of the time they're just going to say amen, amen, because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You know, so like the book makes mention, and I just missed the page, is that you just make sure you speak to people, and most of the time it's like people in our mastermind group that's going to be very quite honest with us, and that's able to, you know, direct us in the right path. Like yesterday, Willie had an excellent session out, and I'm glad that I didn't know she appreciated it like that, but we were there for her on the mastermind. I think we need to do more things like that. I know Yvonne and Rose were here, they would have been there as well. But those things like that, we must support. You must have people like that that will support. And at the end, we always have a little, I forgot what they call it. But, hey, what
it's
happened?
Business,
you know, I'm going to.
Breakfast
I'm,
boost.
What
is
it called?
Boost. A breakfast boost.
Okay. But the thing afterwards, like, tell me the truth. And you know I'm going to tell the truth. Because it's for the betterment of. See, okay.
Feedback.
But she called it something else. And I'm
okay.
Yes, you should have did this, this, and this. You should have did this, or this was good, that wasn't good. I'm not just going to say, hey, yeah, it was good, just because, for sake of argument. But I'm going to say it because I want the best possible outcome for her and everyone that's around us, that's in our circle, and even for people that's not in our circle. All right? So that's just to piggyback off what the caller said, because we got to, yeah, there's going to be some negative people, just like a coach. I'm going to make this decision. Yeah, you said I should have went for it, but I feel like going for three because I see something else. That's my vision. And if I don't achieve it, then hey, somewhere else in the book it makes mention of there's no failure. There is no failure, because when I didn't achieve that goal, next week I look at where I didn't succeed, and then I just strengthen myself from that. But you have to make a decision.
Can I chime in?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a reference to Miss Angela. First of all, thank you so much for actually listening and calling in. But I love it when a person starts off. My mama says that was like that's classic. That's classic. And I almost wanted to do the little Holy Ghost dance in my living room this morning. I think that it's very important what she said. We have to learn to, and I think it goes back to what I said earlier, we have to learn to, not everybody has the information that we're receiving from this Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. Not everybody has that. And because they've been pre-programmed to be a certain way, we have to think about the way that our ancestors were raised. You know, there was a time in their lives where they couldn't do any and everything. So at least they thought, at least they were taught. And sometimes we have opportunities to show them different, and we have to at least try one time. I'm totally in agreement with that, Ms. Angela, if you're still out there.
And we have two comments, actually. I'd like to remind everyone that if you'd like to join us on the call, please do so. Press 1 to raise your hand. Right now we are going to take a call from Willie. Go ahead, Willie.
Good morning. I just wanted to say this is a great conversation. Thank you, Vaughn. Thank you, Ms. Angela. Thank you, Michael. But on 152, it says that we remember our history as it was taught. And that's what yesterday is all about. That's what life is all about, masterminding with everyone. It's really about us rewriting history. And Chapter 7 kind of brings that to the forefront, that we have to remember that yesterday is history. Last week is history, but we're rewriting it based on our actions. So that's all I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Before we go any deeper, Danielle, and I'm quite sure somebody has something to add, but can we run into a commercial before we do that?
We can, but we have to take this next call from Ann McNeil, our founder.
Oh.
Go ahead, Ann. You're on the line.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building masterminds and stronger and better lives. And I am so excited that Michael rose to the challenge today.
Yay!
Oh, you are doing a wonderful job, Michael. Thank you so very much for stepping it up. And I also would like to encourage you as a group, you may want to intermittently say who you are, the name of your group, and the members of your group. That way, those of us who may not be masterminders and who may listen to this as a download will know that this is the TWI Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association, the bomb. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we will go to our next commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, we're back. Okay, I'm going to take instruction over here and introduce myself. I am Michael Horn.
This is the Backroom Diva, Danelle.
The Backroom Diva. This is Vaughn. This is Vaughn. And for the record, I was about to give a plug to Miss Ann because I'm not accustomed to her not being on. I didn't know if she was on or not, so I was going to give a big shout-out. I was wondering where it was. But thank you, Miss Ann.
And you are?
This is Rose. And this is Rose.
And we are. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the Plan with Intentions Mastermind Group. Let's keep it right. Let's keep it rolling, Mike.
And what I like to always been, I'll always love my country. I'm going to move on to this next thing. But the story of Samuel Adams and John Hancock, man, it changed my point of view for this. Well, it strengthened my point of view for this country. I love it. Because the decision that those two individuals made changed history for the rest of our lives. All right. And also I'd like to talk about one person, one guy, was Jesus. What Jesus decided to do changed what our whole life, everybody, the world. You understand? So one person does make a difference. And so I like to talk about how I always say that the one decision that you do or do not make will affect at least 100 people. Okay, and that's one of the ways I end up on the call. If I do not get on the call, it may be something that one of the callers or someone that hears, it could change their life. And just because of something called fear or lack of knowledge or confidence, other people won't reap what you have to sow. All right, so that's what Sam Adams and John Hancock did. And I don't know if you guys really felt the same way. I don't know if you want to get into the whole story, but it identifies to totally what the whole decision on decision making, on how decisions change lives and affect people, on how decisions that when you're making those decisions, going to be people that's not going to agree, but and how when you see it through, it will be beneficial to not only you but others around you.
Thanks, Mike. This is Danelle. The one thing that I would like to mention about that I noticed as I read and reread and reread was that a decision was made. Initially there was one person who was, you know, just tired of the situation. And then he began a correspondence with another person. I don't have my book right now, so I can't call names. Maybe you can call them for me. But they began corresponding with one another about the situation. And the situation was the British influence, the colon during the time of colonization, the British influence in the state of Boston, and just the fear that the presence of the soldiers, constant marching in the streets, you know, being armed, the fear that the citizens were under. So, let's see, we are on. What page are we on? This is so funny. Page 154, we're talking about Samuel Adams and John Hancock. How could I possibly forget those names? So they were corresponding back and forth with one another about what was going on, and then they brought in Henry Lee. And so then once they brought in Henry Lee, then they brought in another, then another, then another, then another from each of the colonized states. And what stayed with me was that they formed a mastermind group. They formed a mastermind group for the sole purpose of getting the British influence out of there, out of their communities, out of the country. They didn't want it around anymore. They didn't want the people living the way they were living. And so they came together for the purpose of removing the presence, working towards removing the presence. And that was their goal. And so and when we're planning and we're deciding on things, you know, like we talked about a couple of minutes ago on pages 150 and 151, you know, we have to be discreet about who we share these plans and goals with. On the bottom of page 150, it says, "You have a brain and a mind of your own," in capital letters, "use them and reach your own decisions. If you need facts or information from other people to enable you to reach decisions, as you probably will in many instances, acquire these facts or secure the information you need quietly without disclosing your purpose." So a lot of times we get away from that. We figure, oh, there's this thing that I want to do. There's this endeavor that I want to accomplish. Let me talk to, you know, whomever, when whomever may not be the best person to speak to about that. So we have to be mindful, again, to use discretion when we are making plans, especially for those large projects that we're looking to accomplish. So that's what stuck out with me, the fact that they formed a mastermind group, and you know, it's not difficult. It's not difficult at all.
Yeah, Danelle, I like what you said. But one thing that came out from what you just in the end part of what you said is that, and I know it's relevant to Napoleon Hill because he made mention of the Bible a couple of times inside of the book, and he even talked about faith and even John Hancock and Samuel Adams when the Queen sent a threat to him. He said, "I don't have to worry about the King because I report I'm already found with the King of Kings." So I'm able to make some reference to things, but I like to think of
too. That was cool that he said that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Here it comes. Y'all, let's go to church. Y'all, let's go to church. Y'all about to get there. Come on.
Hey,
when I was reading that, I had to read that a couple times. I said, "Oh, he said that."
So that's why I feel comfortable. I try not to bring it in because, you know, it's different nationalities and things out there. But, like, hey, it's made mention in the book, so it's very relevant. But it's on page 151 when he says, such people generally do too much, talking too little, listening. Keep your eyes and ears open wide and your mouth closed if you wish to acquire the habit of prompt decision. And I think when I was reading that, I thought about James 1:19. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. You have to observe when you're talking. I met a lady the other day. I received an award for the Chambers, and a lady came to me. She's like, Michael Horn? I'm like, yeah. She said, you never called me back. I'm like, I called you back, but she said, I said, I didn't support nothing, what you have. She said, so much about me, this and that. I said, listen, I don't know. I don't know you like that. And so I was just listening to her, seeing what she. So once I really listened and she and her persistence, and then she called someone else that I knew that knew her, then I was able to share things with her. So we have to be very, very careful with what we share with other people. And Vaughn, perfect example. I told you with the same situation. I was like, hey, don't tell them everything. And when we're going to do what we're doing, don't tell them everything because people will steal what you have. So you have to be listening, let them talk more. You know, you don't give them everything because they'll take it and they'll try to step on it or they'll try to do the same thing that you're doing. And it happens so many times for me in the nonprofit world. All right? And sometimes they even fake like they're bored with you and then just to learn your program and then still take it. So always have that in mind, too, when you're doing your planning.
Mike, that's another group of people. We have two groups of people that we're talking about. We're talking about three groups of people. We're talking about masterminders, of course. We're talking about dream killers, and we're talking about dream stealers. They exist. I mean, just like Ms. Angela, boy, you started something.
My mama said.
Just like she stated, not everybody who says they're with you are actually with you. You know, some people are around just to steal, and that was their ulterior motive from the beginning. Why? Because they acknowledged that you were someone that was definitive in your decision making, and that you had quality. I don't want to say use good ideas. I would rather say we're gonna go to church. I would rather say God ideas, because when we have those type of ideas that manifest themselves into great things, into greatness. Sometimes we don't even see how great they are. You know, we only see from A to B, where just giving that much of information is enough for somebody else to see all the way to letter Z from where you started. So, yeah, now you got dream stealers in the loop, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, don't get quiet. Don't get quiet. It's just beginning. It's only beginning. Don't get quiet.
Can I jump in
and say something about definiteness of decision? This is Willay.
Okay,
perfect. Definiteness of decision. I am at the breast cancer walk right now, and I know we're masterminding, but I am walking behind my brother-in-law, which we do this walk every year, but he made the decision to come out here. This is the first year we're doing it without my sister. We actually lost her this year. And so the fact that he's out here walking and made the decision to go on through it, I said, yes, I'm going to be on the call, but yes, I'm going to be out there to support you. So I just wanted to share that.
And shout out to you, Willay, and everyone else who made a decision to get up extra early this morning to be out at the breast cancer walk. Thank you, thank you, thank you for representing.
Danelle, you know something, and Willie, another shout out to you. I realize that you're out there walking, and there's no way possible that you're walking with your book in your hand, and you're actually giving us information from the book by page number and so on and so forth. That's awesome. That's awesome. And Danelle, when you say, I don't have my book right in front of me, in my mind, I'm like, well, ask Willie, because apparently she has it memorized.
I'm running with the book.
Well, like, it is
The Walking Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, restored and revised version.
Man, y'all are something else. Let's go to a commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we're back. Mike, I want to read something that's on page 156, the bottom half, the last paragraph on 156, and the first top half of 157. Let me see, where would I start? It says, as one might put it more commonly, Adams and Hancock were on the spot. The threat, I don't want to start there. Okay, they hurried, called the secret meeting of their followers. After the meeting had been called to order, Adams locked the door, placed the key in his pocket, and informed all present that it was imperative that a Congress of the colonists be organized and that no one should leave the room until the decision for such a Congress had been reached. When we're in positions where there is a problem, we have to be not only decisive in our decision making. Sometimes some situations call for a right now decision, for something has to be done, and this is what I see with these guys. They knew that what was going on, they didn't want to happen, and they wanted soldiers out, get out of here. What are we gonna do to make this happen? And until we come up with the solution, listen, nobody's leaving here. And sometimes that's very important. Organizations and Fortune 500 companies, actually, they go in just like that. I think they call it a think tank, where they see the situation, whether it's upon them or it's about to come upon them, and they have to come up with something to counter that right then. And we have to learn to do this. We have to start to think like Fortune 500 companies. Like Fortune 500 companies. Even if we don't have a Fortune 1 company, in order to get there, we have to have the mindset.
And another reason why Adams did that was because he just got his head called for him. And so a lot of times those decisions do come because of urgent situations. Because they send a threat out of fear. And what I got from that, Ron, was like a lot of times you wait till – but I'm sure that when he made that decision, because after this is his second decision that he had to make, because he told the king to go shove it. And I'm going through with this for the greater good, and that's when he is called for urgent, because he need people. And this is what I also get from you need to. This is what masterminds need: other people to strengthen their decision, to strengthen their belief. If you have a decision, you have to share it, and sometimes you have to lock people down. Yeah, hey, listen, this is what we need to do. Hey, time's not on our side. Let's go. We got to make a decision right now. It was a long time. I know, because Hancock kept coming back asking, hey, okay, when are we going to make a decision? When are we going to make a decision? And that's when Adam said, hey, you know what? We're making a decision now. And so I think that is relevant on that standpoint as well.
Well, but, if they were gonna cut my head off, I would want you guys to come up with a solution too.
Yeah.
You know, like right now, like it's no. We can't wait till tomorrow. Don't schedule me for tomorrow. Come to me and let's get this done now.
Also in the chat, they also talk about the unity and strength and the strength and unity. All right, to achieve an agenda, whatever the agenda may be. All right. And that's why when you have your vision, your goal, I believe that you shouldn't tell everyone, but you should tell the right people. And that's exactly what happened with Adams. And that's why they said it was the first mastermind. Started with Samuel Adams, went to John Hancock, then it went to Lee, and then it went to the 13 other colonies, and it spread like a wildfire. And Ron, y'all know my favorite thing is, and Danelle, you know you like gardening and stuff too, that when you plant that seed, you grow the tree, all right, and then the tree drop and it bear fruit, and then they drop seeds, and then they grow other fruits, and then they drop. And so I think that's what we should be doing is mastermind. They are masterminds. It was the first, that was Napoleon Hill said. It was the first, and I think we shouldn't do anything less of mimicking what they did. I don't know. I mean, even going far as, I don't know if you want to risk your life getting hung, but let's go close to achieve our goal, working towards the same thing as the first mastermind.
You know, this is Valet, and, you know, we're talking about Napoleon Hill and what he did in his time, but everything in the book is so relevant to today
mm-hmm.
once you align mm-hmm. yourself with it. Because I'm looking at our founder, Ann McNeil. I said, okay, I'm going to do something on Friday. And she went out of her way to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Other members of our mastermind group, thank you, Michael, thank you, Danelle, went through and helped me out until the very end. So when we pull together, when we speak what we say we're going to do, not just say it, but when we actually do it, we're actually doing what Napoleon Hill is actually speaking about.
Absolutely. All right, and one thing I want to talk about is, like I said, I want to define some things. They talk about on they talk about fear. All right. The only reason that we don't achieve what we're supposed to achieve, Ron used the word a plague or a virus earlier, is fear. If you can eliminate fear out of your life, you will be the most successful person in the world. All right? We don't get into relationships because of fear. We don't achieve our goal because of fear. We don't tell our loved ones what they need to know, or we don't tell our friends what they need to know. We don't tell our other masterminds what they need to know because of fear. If we can eliminate that fear, I think we'll be great, much, much greater individual. And fear goes on to the first thing is doubt. And it's funny because this morning I woke up, I'm going to the Bible, my word of the day was Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I said, wow, that goes exactly what I had written down for the day to talk about. All right, because when you know somebody got your back, you're not scared of nothing. All right? And you're going to achieve what you have to achieve. And so that anybody want to chime in on that, I'll just open it right there. I'll stop.
Hey, Mike. Remember when we were kids and, you know, we did kid things. We had the neighborhood. We had the neighborhood fights and things of that sort.
Yeah.
And you remember how I don't care if the biggest bully in the neighborhood came and he fought you, he was ready to jump on you. If you can get to your front door, if you can get to your house,
mm-hmm.
you would kick his behind. You know why? Because you knew that somebody had your back. That was where your strength was. I mean, people are like, wow, how did he go there? I'm just speaking on facts.
That's fact.
I mean, my little brother, he would start stuff, but as soon as he saw me coming down the street,
I mean, he would be almost running. He saw me coming down the street, and the S, like, came out on his chest. Like, yeah, I'm ready now. I wasn't ready when we were down the block. Well, my big brother is here now. He has my back.
Yeah,
now that's true. I thought about the same exact thing. I thought about the same thing, Vaughn, when we were kids. And I think everybody can relate to that, because we've all been kids at one time or another. Even if you didn't have an older sibling, just knowing that someone was there to support you and had your back. I remember the same thing. My father came to pick me up from school one day. And he walked there, so we had to walk back home. And I was invincible for those 10 minutes. I mean, there was nothing I couldn't do. There was nothing I couldn't say because, you know, there was no one who could touch me because my father was there. And that is literally the scripture that you just read, Mike. You know, our father is there. And in terms of our groups, we know that when we have a plan that we want to work towards, and we come to our mastermind partners, look, what do you think about this? This is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. What do you think about it? And we know without a doubt that even if we don't hear, yeah, that's a great idea, move forward with that, yeah, I think you should do that, that whatever they do tell us, it will be in truth and in love and in a spirit of harmony. You know, the guideline for being in a mastermind group is not the spirit of agreement to the extent, yes, I agree with everything that you're saying. Yes, I agree with every plan that you come up with. It's yes, I agree, I stand in agreement with you as you move forward in your endeavors, and let's work together in how to make that work for you.
Danielle,
that's so true.
Okay.
Let me
ask something.
Yes.
You, this is kind of crazy that, all right, I'm almost 40 years old and I'm about to use a reference to rap music. Well, even people that are not successful people, they think alike. Now, There's and they're out of Miami, Rick Ross and his group, MMG, they have a song out, and it's called The Power Circle, all right? And if you listen to some of the lyrics in that song, you know what they're describing? They're describing their mastermind team. And it's like, I'm listening to it because, yes, I have kids, and I try to see, okay, what are you listening to, because I don't want you to, you know, fall into the same stigma as all of the rest of the rap fanatics. But that's neither here nor there. When I hear these guys talk about having their mastermind team, I'm like, even they get the concept. Even they get the concept. We have to utilize what we have. So now that I found this song, and I know that all these kids are looking up to these guys, and these are their role models, so to speak. I utilize that song in reference to young people, because now they're like, oh, that's what you're saying. Oh, yeah, I'm saying the same thing he's just said, but I'm going to show you, he's just telling you how powerful you can be by having your power circle, your mastermind team. He's just showing you that part of it. Now let me show you how to put your mastermind team together and why you want to put it together, you know, and why you want to be a part of the power circle.
And speaking of youth, I'd like to let everyone know that the International Mastermind Association has a youth component. We have a youth group called the Young Millionaires in Action. And the youth mastermind group meet every fourth Saturday. We also are on Blog Talk. We, the youth mastermind group, are also on Blog Talk Radio on the first Sunday of every month at 5 p.m. And you can tune into that show at the same telephone number that you are maybe tuning into this one at 661
554-9219, 661-554-9219, and you'll get an opportunity to hear how they conduct themselves as young masterminders when they also interview their guest for the week. So I just wanted to, thought that was a great segue into talking about the youth masterminders since we were talking about youth.
But
I think it's great that we have that there is a youth mastermind group. Can you imagine how powerful these guys will be in every aspect of their lives?
Yes.
By getting this now,
mm-hmm.
by getting this at a young age, and they, mm-hmm. once they learn to incorporate this into every
right.
aspect of their lives, you're building greatness. We actually have a chance to see greatness come, like Mike says, Danielle likes to plant. Okay, so we actually get a chance to see this seed turn into a mate, to a tree,
right.
and bear more fruit. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's not so much about them knowing and living in the principles right now as it is when they become adults. Like I tell my son Malachi, you'll be an adult a lot longer than you will be a child, and so it's necessary, it's a requirement for us to groom you even now as an adult. That doesn't mean treat you like an adult, that doesn't mean give you the responsibilities of an adult, although my mother does sometimes, but it means to introduce them and help indoctrinate them into the things that will make them successful as an adult, that will make him and every and all of our other youth successful as adults, so that they're not, 30, 40, 50, 60-something just figuring out about how to build accountable.
Preparation.
What you guys said led right into what I want to talk about next. I had actually forgotten about it, but since you guys brought it up, oh, man, it's right on time. It says on page 160, indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. The habit takes on permanency at youth. The youth goes through grade school, high school, and even through college without definite of purpose.
Yes.
The major weakness of all educational systems is that they neither teach nor encourage the habit of definite decision. And what came to me last night, and I'm telling you, all this morning, I'm like, it's something that's important. It's something that I want to say about this that I feel that's important, is that, first of all, we are all big kids. We it's something that we lacked that we was younger that we never got. We never got it, okay? But we just got more responsibilities. We have other things to do and more money. That's it, and more time. But we're still that person that never got whatever it is, okay? And we, as masterminds with the group, we are able to instill that to kids at a young age. And let's talk about seeds, okay? If you don't, to try to plant something, the tree going to grow up to 30 years old, and to chop an oak tree down at 30 years old is very difficult, And what I like to say is we can all relate to this. And with that, when we was younger, we always talked about, we want to be an astronaut. I want to be the first president. Our dreams were big. But I see us was planted in a culture, a society that succeeded off failure. And we let that take over. And we let them say, hey, I'd just probably be no disrespect, or I'd just probably be I just wanna go here. They minimize our dreams, and they didn't water. We didn't have anyone to water us, to give us enough sunlight to nurture us the right way. And probably people that was growing us didn't know half the information. I say this, and then I'm gonna open it up. I ordered have some tomatoes in the backyard. It's supposed to grow in 2 weeks, but I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Needless to say, one tomato didn't drop yet. And that's because of my lack of information, my lack of knowledge and willingness to nurture that plant. Now, if Danielle, I let Danielle take over it, she might have me a whole garden back there.
I'm about to say, you got tomatoes you didn't
Yeah.
So Mike, what you're about to do is utilize your resources.
Oh yeah, I mean it was. Hello. To put her to work, she know I have no problem.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Ann McNeil. I've been trying to take myself off mute. I mean, I'll take myself off by pressing one, but I just wanted to just interject and let y'all know y'all are having entirely too much fun.
We really are.
Hey, this is what happens. This is what happens.
Well, there are no rules that we're not supposed to, so we figured we're just going to go with it.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to Willay and all of the other women and men and children who are in the walk today. I am on the 27th floor of the Bank of America building downtown on 7th, looking down on thousands and thousands and thousands of people in pink in the walk for cancer today and breast cancer. And so I just want to just send a shout out to all of those families who've been impacted. And a prayer, because before the grace of God go each and every one of us, and we just don't know what's around the corner. But what we do know is the fact that if you can control the way you think, it will definitely, in a positive way, impact your health. Because a lot of times we do bring things on us, and I think Vaughn mentioned something today earlier about the germs and these kind of things. But there are germs that we don't see that enter our mind, and it's the spirit that's a negative, that has a negative impact on us. So I just wanted to just interject that y'all are just really having so much fun, and we're just so happy to hear from you. And we look forward to hearing from you again next Saturday. So I'm just trying to take myself off by pressing one, but it's not taking my one.
Thank you. Let me just say before we move on that walk, you know, I don't know when the walk began, but I don't really think there was a walk 15 years ago. Maybe there was. I could be wrong. But what impressed me, one of the things that impressed me the most is I keep reading through this book and using this cancer walk as an example. You know, Napoleon Hill's research, Napoleon Hill's work for this book, which led to other writings as well, this philosophy that led to other works of his was a 25-year task, was a 25-year work in progress. And the same thing with the walk. You know, 15 years ago, I'm assuming, there was not a walk, but it was a plan for someone. It was a goal for someone. And I'm pretty sure the first walk there may have been only a handful of people. And the next couple of years, the number probably tripled or doubled. And now I'm not downtown with my mother, but I can just imagine what the sea of pink is in every state. In every state, a sea of pink for several hours. You know, that's one of the things that sticks with me the most as I go through this book, because I don't know of anything that I've set out to do, especially for those of you who know me, you can attest to this, I don't know of anything that I've set out to do that I've put that much years and years and years worth of voluntary effort and energy into. You know, you can't count grade school. You don't really have much of a choice there. But thank you for that. Thank you very much for that.
You know what, you guys are you're the greatest. I'm loving this. And for the record, I am having fun doing this. That's just for the record. Needless to say, I'm really enjoying this. Mike, I want to go back to Mike. Mike, with your tomatoes.
You're not ready yet. I'll let you know when they're ready.
But I want to interject some things. You had a plan to plant the tomatoes, right? But you didn't follow through. That's why they're not. That's why the fruit is not bearing fruit. And this isn't a shot at you. I'm not trying to put one on the chin. But I think that's a perfect example of how we have a vision, or we have a goal, but we don't see
the entire plan through. And I hope like after this you're not mad at me. Like, how could you put me on blast like that? But since you brought it up, I thought that I would. That's a perfect example of how we have ideas and we move forward on an idea before making a plan for that idea.
No, but Ron, you know what? It's fine that you brought it up because it's a good point. Because the thing is that we have many different areas in our life, and I think what clearly came to my mind was last week, Danielle said that she wanted to just see if she didn't plan something to see what would happen, and she didn't do anything, but she did. She saw what would happen if she didn't do anything.
Exactly.
So my plan was not to grow a garden of tomatoes. That's not my thing. My success was just to be able to get it. See, that's where you got to go and say, hey, what was my plan? Hey, I would like to see a plan go, but I want to do something out of my norm that I hadn't done. So by even hanging it and putting it up and watering it a couple times, I had achieved my goal already. That's why I didn't seek it any further. So sometimes failure, like the book says, isn't really failure. You know, it doesn't say if I run a walk, if I do a domestic violence walk, that got to be in the front. Just me walking in the walk made me a winner.
Amen.
So you didn't throw a chin shot at me. I'm all right. I'm still standing.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
With the 3 minutes that we have left, we're going to go to a very quick commercial about the International Mastermind Association Conference in January 2013 and remind you that you are listening to the Plan with Intention Mastermind Group, Danielle McNeil, Willay Ivory, Vaughn Young, Mrs. Rose Young, and Michael Horn.
Start your year with full accountability and balance. Join the International Mastermind Association Friday and Saturday, January 11th and 12th, 2013, for the International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. The International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat is a day and a half of accountability, creating, sharing, and celebrating goals and accomplishments with like-minded individuals that are living their lives on purpose. You don't want to miss it. For registration and more information on this life-enlightening event, please visit our website at internationalmasterminders.com.
Back to the boogie.
We're back. One thing up before we leave, before we go, Janelle, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Just making sure. But I just want to finish that statement because I'm very passionate about you. But it said the habit of indecision acquired because of deficiency of our school system goes with students into the occupations they choose, if, in fact, they choose their occupations at all. Generally, young people just out of school seek any job that can be found. They take the first position they find because they have fallen into the habit of indecision. 98 out of 100 people working for wages today are in positions they hold because they lack the definiteness of decision to plan a definite position and the knowledge of how to choose an employer. So that's what I was going to earlier when I was saying that we're just big kids. And to let, like Ron always say, let's not try to let the cycle reoccur, and let's try to address that issue at a young age, all right? And let us try to just chop that tree down and start over, or let's try to make things better. I just got a cue that we're out of time. I'd like to thank everyone for calling in. So I'm Michael Horn.
And this is Danielle McNeil.
And this is Vaughn Young.
And Rosa.
And Willay, who's at the Breast Cancer Walk, and we thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.